The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way. Something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Welcome back, listeners. Today's Did You Know Show features the Department of the Executive Branch of Government known as the DOT, or the Department of Transportation. When I started doing my research onto the department, the first thing I ran into was a graph displayed by DOT on their very own website advising that by August of 2014, the department would have a shortfall relating to their cash balance in both the highway and mass transit account. Now, in layman's terms, that means that they will run out of money. Well, not exactly. If you delve deeper into the banner running on the first page, you will find that even on their own website, they finally tell you that this account will have a $400 million surplus at the end of the fiscal year. So what the heck is all that about? Why is the DOT projecting a shortfall and then in a smaller print say they have a surplus of $400 million? Are they conflicted? But first, let's begin as always with an understanding of what this Department of Transportation is all about. This department is one of the newer departments of the federal executive branch, having just come into existence in October of 1966, with the passage of the Department of Transportation Enabling Act, which was signed into law by President Lyndon Baines Johnson. Prior to this, some of the functions of the DOT were taken care of by other departments and agencies, with the federal government, such as the Interstate Commerce Commission. So you ask, what is it that this DOT does? Again, looking at its website, we find that the mission of this department is, and I quote, serve the United States by ensuring a fast, safe, efficient, accessible, and convenient transportation system that meets our vital national interest and enhances the quality of life of the American people today and into the future. That sounds nice, but what does this department do? It spends approximately $77 billion taxpayer monies and has a workforce of approximately 58,000 employees. This came from Wikipedia. It, the Department of Transportation, tells the transportation system of America what it can and cannot do. It micromanages the transportation systems in this great country of ours through a management system overseeing all aspects of transportation, including air, highway, rail, seaway, and now is getting into both bicycle and pedestrian regulations and recommendations. Gee, I wonder if they'll ban my old three-speed bicycle because it doesn't have enough gears or I don't expend enough miles per calorie. Heaven forbid a 60-year-old on a 40-year-old bike. I can just see the future. A two-person bike, now you have to have backup, being driven by the pedal police of the DOT and HHS coming after me. What a visual picture. Within the DOT, we have a leadership team that starts with a Secretary of Transportation and his underlings that respond to his needs and directives. This first layer of the Department of Transportation encompasses the Office of the Secretary, who has six undersecretaries or assistants with their staffs. Next in the pecking order come 11 administrators of the various administrations. And finally, in the top-level management group is the Office of the Secretary, including five directors, another assistant secretary, and a chief information officer. Now that makes up the top echelon of the Department of Transportation's management team. Recall that each of these managerial types has a staff of unknown numbers, but since they sit at the top, I would expect that the staff would be quite substantive as to size, payroll, and scope of operation. Proceeding on, we get to the nuts and bolts of the Department of Transportation. This consists of 13 operating administrations. For lack of space and time, I will give you a sense of what this encompasses in the Department of Transportation. First and foremost, we have the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, whose mission entails the safest, most efficient aerospace system in the world. Now, one would think, no-brainer. But in looking deeper into the entrails of the DOT/FAA, and specifically their organizational chart, you know, those charts with little boxes and bigger boxes showing you what's what and what they're called, I found 100, yes, listeners, 100 separate little boxes with activities under the two main boxes encompassing the administrator and his assistant. I stop right there, but if you're interested, all you need to do is go to the DOT government website, which is dot.gov, and under FAA, you'll find a link to download this chart, and you would be on your way to sinking into the quagmire of the FAA federal bureaucracy. Continuing on, one finds administrations for roadways and bridges, motor carrier safety, which includes trucking and motor coaches, railroads, transit, maritime, and the NHTSA, or as we all know it, as the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. The remaining six include the Office of Inspector General, the Office of the Secretary, the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, the St. Lawrence Seaway Development Corp., and lastly, the Surface Transportation Board. Let me just highlight several of these elements of the DOT administrations. I bet you didn't know that the SLSDC, or the St. Lawrence Seaway Development Corporation, was responsible for, I quote again, intermodal and international transportation system by improving the operation and maintenance of a safe, reliable, efficient, and environmentally responsible deep draft waterway, in cooperation with its Canadian counterpart. The SLSDC also encourages the development of trade through the Great Lakes Seaway System, which contributes to the comprehensive economic and environmental development of the entire Great Lakes region. This wholly owned government corporation, created in 1954, controls that part of the St. Lawrence Seaway between the Port of Montreal and Lake Erie, and currently is run by an administrator who was a former congressperson from Ohio and just by happenstance is married to another high-ranking employee of the government in the FLRA, which is the Federal Labor Relations Administration, employed as a mediator. Gee, I wonder how they get these jobs sometimes. Along with the staff are an advisory board consisting of a chairman and three members. When looking at the 2012 fiscal annual report, one sees a map of all the Great Lakes, which gives the impression that this entity is responsible for all of the Great Lakes, but that is not the case. Additionally, when one goes to the website, it only lists the administrator and the board members, but in the annual report, one definitely gets the impression that there are a lot more folk here hiding behind the scenes, and I found approximately 128 of them. In the report I found, the corporation is actually one of the entities of the Department of Transportation that actually makes money, but also spends it in having led 33 trade missions to 37 countries and 66 cities. That's a quote. Additionally, in 2012, the SLSDC participated in a cruise convention in Miami and various other trade events, including a wind industry forum. Goes on and on, but I'll stop there. Doesn't that sort of remind you of the GSA scandal and their trip to Las Vegas with a picture of the boss of the GSA sitting in a hot tub with a glass of some sort of libation? Bet it wasn't non-alcoholic. Our next highlighted administration is the STB, or the Surface Transportation Board. First to Wikipedia. Well, it seems that this board provides a forum for the resolution of surface transportation disputes and other matters within its jurisdiction. It has the authority to limit or remove regulatory requirements where appropriate. This board consists of three members that are appointed by the president for a term of 5 years and is confirmed by the U.S. Senate. In assisting this board, quote, is a staff of 150 with experience in economics, law, accounting, transportation, analysis, finance, and administration. I then visited the STB site at a government-originating site, and it was interesting to see that, yes, we have a three-member board currently with one vacancy. But at the government site, I did not find the 150-member staff, just a referral to an organizational chart under the three board members consisting of an Office of Public Assistance, Government Affairs, and Compliance. Then there is the Office of Economics, the Office of the General Counsel, the Office of Proceedings, the Office of Environmental Analysis, and lastly, the Office of the Managing Director. From the website, I downloaded the annual report, and the overview found this statement as to the STB has broad economic regulatory oversight of freight, railroads, including rates, service, construction, acquisition, and abandonment of rail lines, carrier mergers, and interchange of traffic among the carriers. So it seems this board is primarily interested in the world of trains. I finally found some numbers for the STB, an employment figure of 140 persons and an approximation of $28 million, which was offset by $1.25 million user fees. Generally speaking, the Board of Three handles railroad cases relating to rates, service, construction, acquisition, abandonment of rails, carrier mergers, and interchange of traffic. Just think, these three people, and not the marketplace, control what happens to the railroad industry. Whatever happened to our free market economy that made this country the envy of the world? Now, recently, I was listening to the National Public Radio, and there just happened to be a show relating to railroads, safety, and the NTSB. During the show, they talked about recent spills in the U.S. and Canada and the dangers and possible changes to the way the railway system and how it moves crude oil and other flammables. During the show, it was suggested and pointed out that the NTSB wanted the rail industry to conduct reviews such as making changes to routing systems for crude oil movement, having contingency plans for spills and possibly having sites and equipment ready to handle those spills, and lastly, possibly making changes to the carrier cars themselves and making them more resistant to spillage during derailments. What struck me as odd was that the government wanted these things done primarily by the railroad industry. But wait, the rail industry is highly regulated and controlled by the government already, and we have this multiplicity of organizations that is supposed to be doing these things. Well then, what is the purpose of government if not to assess these things and then provide suggestions and ideas for improvements? But then, I recalled in my telling the story of the DOT, I did not address the NTSB, but did talk about the FRA, which is the Federal Railway Administration, the PHMSA, Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, and the STB, the Surface Transportation Board. Now, we need to add the NTSB into this mix, but wait. The NTSB is not within the confines of the Department of Transportation, but is in fact a separate, and I quote, independent federal agency charged by Congress with investigating every civil aviation accident in the U.S. and significant accidents in other modes of transportation, railroad, highway, marine, and pipeline. But alas, that would be another Did You Know show. If we then have the NTSB, then why do we have the DOT and the FRA and the STB? Come on, folks, we have overlap over overlap with so many different groups doing similar things. And I'm not even interjecting other departments and separate agencies, such as the EPA, the DHS, the Department of Commerce, etc. Talk about government inefficiency. That must be the waste in that government threesome called waste, fraud, and abuse. But alas, that also would have to be another Did You Know show. So here we are at the end of this discussion into the workings of the Department of Transportation. I truly hope that you have a better understanding as to how the DOT as part of the executive branch of the government works and what it does. Yes, we do need government, but do we need that much government with these overlapping entities doing the same thing? Well, that's it for this segment of the Did You Know Show and the story of the Department of Transportation. Thanks for listening, and please, if you have comments or suggestions, take time to respond in the reply section of the website and let me know where I can be better at what I do or make improvements to the presentation and content of the Did You Know Show. Well, until next time in our next Did You Know Show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.